Thanks for tuning in to KOVE 1330 AM 107.7 FM, Community Connected. You're listening to Coffee Time. I'm your host, Vince Tropea. As we teased before the break, we're here today with Wyoming congressional candidate Harriet Hageman, who is setting her sights on unseating Liz Cheney this year. She's on the campaign trail right now and making stops all throughout Wyoming, including right here in Lander, Wyoming on Coffee Time. Harriet, it's not every day we get a congressional candidate on this show. First off, how are you doing this morning?
Well, wonderful, Vince. It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in today. And you guys mentioned that you were just in Riverton and Hudson last night, correct?
Yes, we're in Riverton right now. That's where we're staying. But we had a town hall last evening in Hudson, very well attended, and really quite a wonderful event. Over 60 people and fantastic questions. People are extremely engaged and asked me some of the best questions I've had on the campaign about what's happening in Washington, D.C., vaccine mandates, pretty much anything you can think of that you would want to talk to a congressional member or a candidate about, they brought up last night, and I was really impressed with the people who were there. Really a fun evening.
And that's got to feel good to hear those types of questions from such a local level, too.
Well, absolutely. What I know about Wyoming, I'm from Wyoming. I grew up outside of Fort Laramie, Wyoming, on the other side of the state. People in Wyoming have always been very engaged with what's going on locally, statewide, and nationally. And so it doesn't surprise me that people are paying a lot of attention to this race and also what is going on nationally and internationally. Things have been moving at the speed of light. Especially just in the last couple of weeks with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. That was at the forefront of people's minds last evening, but also what's happening with inflation, the open border, the other things that affect us right here in Wyoming. And people really wanted to hear what my thoughts were and what I intended to do when I got into Congress.
Well, people are very interested in that. And on that note, what inspired you to run for this seat, and how long have you been thinking about running for Congress?
Well, where it really started was over a year ago. And it started with watching what was going on with Liz Cheney. I was terribly troubled. Even before the 2020 election, I was concerned about some of the positions that she had taken. But after the 2020 election, things really came to a head for me. After she was one of the very first Republicans who came out and demanded that Donald Trump concede in November of 2020, saying that there weren't problems with the election. And I disagreed with that. I think that there were some pretty serious irregularities and potential problems that we saw in swing states such as Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Georgia. And I thought that there was needed to be additional investigation. And then since then, we've also learned about the money that Zuckerberg put into the elections, over $500 million, that is very troublesome for a variety of reasons. But after she voted to impeach in January of 2021, without giving Donald Trump due process, I started thinking about what needed to be done in terms of changing our representation. So that evolved over the next 6 or 7 months, and I made the final decision last summer that I was going to do this. But really, this comes down to Wyoming only has one representative in Congress, and we have to make it count. We have to make sure that we have someone there who understands Wyoming, understands our values, and represents our values. And right now, we really do not have representation in Congress because Liz Cheney is focused almost exclusively on the January 6th commission, and as a result, she's not doing anything for the state. So I'll give you an example is that historically, Wyoming has always had someone on the Natural Resource Committee. She's not on the Natural Resource Committee because she's focusing on the January 6th committee. So that's a problem right there. And then the other aspect is that I have learned in visiting with congressional representatives in D.C., she doesn't have any allies back there at all. She can't work with her fellow congressional representatives. And as a result, she's very ineffective in terms of protecting Wyoming and pushing forward on issues that are important to us.
And you mentioned Liz Cheney. What are your strategies for going up against her in terms of, I mean, that's a big name in the political sphere in conservatism and Republicans, but you did recently beat her in a straw poll, a Wyoming GOP straw poll, correct?
I did. The straw poll was 59-6. I had 59 of the votes and she received 6. So that's obviously was an important metric, if you will, in terms of giving an idea of the sentiment of folks in the state of Wyoming. I'm going to do exactly what I'm doing now, which is I'm traveling around the state and meeting with people. And that's, again, something that she doesn't and can't do. She doesn't come to Wyoming. She doesn't do town halls. Have you ever known of a town hall that Liz Cheney attended. That's just simply not the way that she interacts with the voting public. But I do. I've had town halls everywhere from Jackson to Hudson to Casper. I had one last Friday in Casper and another one this past Monday in Casper. I was in Gillette and Cheyenne before that. We have had them in Newcastle. We're going to be, I have visited every county at least once, several of them two and three and four times, and I will continue to do that right up to Election Day. I am going into the communities. I'm meeting with people. I'm talking to them about why I'm doing this, what I'm doing, and then also learning from them as to what are the important issues that they believe we should address in Congress.
And then you mentioned that, you know, that she's not being present here in Wyoming. There was recently a website that you, I don't know if you were had your hands in it, but it was mocking Cheney for being, it was Liz Cheney for Virginia. I was just wondering how that came about and what the response to that has been.
Well, the response has been quite positive because it's funny. And it was somewhat of a spoof. But Liz Cheney does live in Virginia and really always has. She came back to Wyoming in 2012 and bought a house up in Jackson. But her and her family have primarily lived in Virginia, Northern Virginia, McLean, Virginia, throughout this entire period. And prior to that, her husband is involved in a very large law firm back in Washington, D.C. They do a lot of lobbying work and things. That's where her family, that's where her kids go to school. And so that's really what that was getting at. And again, Wyoming has one congressional representative. We need to make sure that they're from Wyoming and understand Wyoming and understand our issues.
And then how do you plan on maintaining those Wyoming values? You know, like you said, you're from here, you're a Wyoming girl. How do you plan on maintaining those when you're going to be thrown into this national political sphere?
My great-grandfather came to Wyoming in 1879. So I have very, very, very deep roots in this state. I have a lot of cousins, a huge extended family. But even my own family, all of my brothers and sisters live in Wyoming. Most of my nieces and nephews, most of my great nieces and nephews, my husband is here. This is where I come home to. I don't have anywhere else to go to. And so the way that I put it, other people have asked me that question. And I've said, all of you in this room can hold me accountable, but I can assure you my own family and my own brothers and sisters will hold me accountable because they have my entire life. They have held me accountable for doing what is the right thing because that's what families do. And my view of Wyoming, I love Wyoming. Wyoming is the last shining city on the hill. We used to say that about America, but I've got some real concerns about what's going on in other states. But I really do believe that about Wyoming. We're the last shining city on the hill. I think that we can show the rest of the country how to do things right. I think that we can get things straightened out doing so in Wyoming first. And so I'm dedicated to making sure that I'm representing and protecting Wyoming. I have throughout my entire career. Or the vast majority of my career.
Because you're an attorney, correct?
I am. I'm a water and natural resource and constitutional attorney. And I have worked for a lot of people around this state protecting them.
Well, I was going to ask, how do you think that your role in that position is going to be beneficial to your how you run things potentially on this Congress seat?
I understand the issues that are the most important to my state. So I've worked for a lot of irrigation districts. I've worked for a lot of municipalities. I've worked for a lot of farmers and ranchers, oil and gas companies, gravel companies. I've addressed issues dealing with federal lands. I was involved with the wolf lawsuit trying to force the Fish and Wildlife Service to better manage our wolf population to protect our wildlife and livestock industries. I have worked on the roadless rule, attempting to make sure that the Forest Service properly managed our National Forest Service lands. I've dealt with BLM issues. I understand the federal-state relationship. The water issues are so critically important in this state. I have dealt with a lot of cases where the EPA has come into Wyoming and attempted to take control of our irrigation infrastructure through the Clean Water Act. So the issues that I will be addressing in Congress, again, especially if I'm on the Natural Resource Committee, are the very types of things that I've handled as an attorney. And I've been quite successful at that. I've been able to push back against the EPA's effort to take over irrigation. And again, representing our municipalities to make sure that they have a long-term water supply. So just the kind of work that I've historically done. And then more recently, I've really focused on the constitutional side of things. I have challenged, for example, the vaccine mandates for the refusal of these various governmental entities to recognize natural immunity. I've got a lawsuit. I'm going to be before the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals on Monday in a lawsuit where I represented the cattle industry in throughout the country, with the USDA attempting to force our cattle producers to use RFID ear tags and register their ranches with the federal government. I have a case pending related to the EPA blowout of the Gold King mine in southwestern Colorado, where they turned the Animas River orange several years ago, and I have sued on that case as an unconstitutional takings, and I've got that case pending in the Court of Federal Claims. So I've really been focusing on the things, the issues that I think are important to people in terms of liberty and freedom and protecting our constitutional rights and enforcing the Bill of Rights.
And seeing them from that aspect and that angle as an attorney, it's got to be, like you said, you're more aware of what's getting to that state level and the things that are affecting that trickle all the way down.
Absolutely. And the other things I've done is that I have studied extensively the regulatory administrative environment in this country for the last 20 years. And I've been traveling the country giving a speech called Regulation Without Representation. And this is one of the areas where I've really focused on the separation of powers doctrine and the concept of the three branches of government and how our legislative branch has really abdicated their responsibilities for actually writing the laws. And they've turned over so much of that to administrative agencies and unelected bureaucrats, which is a violation of our foundational constitutional construct. And so in Congress, that's going to be one of my priorities, is making sure that we are starting to hold our elected officials accountable to do, number one, what they say they're going to do, but number two, that they're answerable to us. In a republic, we have a representative form of government. They need to represent us, and they've really let that go by the wayside, and a lot of them have, and they are not representing us. They're allowing bureaucrats to make decisions that they should not be making. And so I bring that expertise to this office as well.
And then we kind of chatted a little bit before you came in, before we started the interview today. One thing that's very near and dear to my concerns here in Lander, Wyoming, and Wyoming as a state, and a number of people in the area, especially Fremont County, do you have a plan? I know there's not much you can do on a federal level, but do you have a plan to address the current mental health concerns that are facing our state and our country, and especially the youth?
You know, this is something that I've talked about a lot over the last many years. I don't know if you knew, but I ran for governor 4 years ago, and one of the big issues that I talked about were mental health issues, and I do think that those are state issues and why it was so important to me. I have several family members who are in education, and they can tell you that things have changed over the last 40 years in terms of mental health issues for our students and for our parents and adults. And so it is something that we need to address. We need to address it from a broad spectrum of issues. Again, I believe it's a state issue, but where I think the federal side of this comes in is that we need to make sure that states, especially such as Wyoming, that are so big and sparsely populated, that we have the resources available for those who need them. Wyoming has a very high suicide rate, and that is just absolutely unacceptable. We have a very high veteran population, which is part of what drives that. We need to make sure that those veterans are getting the services that they need. I have reached out to some of the folks in the veteran community, and one of the ideas that was floated to me that I think is a really good idea is almost an education plan for people coming back, for people in the military, to help them get an education, to get a degree in psychology and counseling, so that they can help their fellow veterans when they're struggling with the things that they are, because then it's somebody that they can relate to. And so I really like the idea of almost a GI Bill for helping our service members get psychology and counseling degrees so that they can then help their fellow veterans. I thought that was a great idea, and I think that's something that we could implement and that I could potentially help with on the federal level in terms of funding. So those are some of the ideas that I have thought about, but we definitely need to address the mental health issues that we have. When I was growing up, we took in over 40 foster children. And so I dealt from a very young age with people who were struggling for a variety of reasons, whether it was through abuse or it was alcohol abuse, whatever it might be, substance abuse, whatever it might be. I was exposed to that from a pretty young age. And it's something that is almost every family in the state is dealing with some kind of a mental health issue, and we need to help them. I really do believe that.
And then you were recently endorsed, well, I don't know if it's necessarily recently, but you have been endorsed by Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, House Conference Chair Elise Stefanik. Rand Paul recently campaigned with you, and you also got an endorsement from Donald Trump as well. How much sway do you think those endorsements are going to help you during this congressional run in Wyoming?
I think what endorsements do is it is its shorthand way for kind of defining who a person is in terms of what their philosophy might be. So there's no way in the world that I would ever think that having those endorsements is a way for those people to come to Wyoming and tell people how to vote. And that isn't the way that I view them at all. I don't believe anybody should come here and tell us how to vote. But what it does is Rand Paul has quite a reputation as being someone who's very freedom and liberty oriented, and I am as well. He has voiced a lot of concerns about the Patriot Act and the FISA court and the abuse of process in the deep state. I have similar concerns. He is one who has really tried to hold Anthony Fauci accountable for what has happened with the response to the coronavirus, where it came from, gain of function research, the funding of the lab in Wuhan. So being aligned with someone like Rand Paul, I think tells people that I agree with him on a lot of the things that he talks about and that he's done. The same with these others, but and with President Trump, it's the America First agenda. I very much believe in the America First agenda. I very much believe in enforcing our immigration laws and being energy independent and being food independent and taking care of us before our own issues here, such as the mental health issues that you were talking about, before we can look worldwide to figure out what to do. But the other thing that this does, and there's going to be another huge list of endorsements or supporters coming out, what I've learned is that Liz Cheney has no allies in Congress, no Republican allies. And so she's ineffective and unable to get anything done for Wyoming because she has burned all of her bridges with fellow Republicans back in Washington, D.C. And when you're back there, you're one of 435 people. And if you don't have allies and can't work with your fellow congressman or congresswoman, you become very ineffective in terms of representing your state's interests. And that's what's happened. So it's twofold. I think it says a lot about me and my background and my qualifications for this job. But it's also a reflection on Liz Cheney and her incapability at this point to represent Wyoming's interests.
And then moving on kind of from Wyoming to one national policy question here is, you said that you wanted to hold the Biden administration accountable for many things, including their policies endangering our energy industries. Can you say more about your policies and how you plan to combat them?
Well, I think that it's very clear that the America First agenda helped us to do that. So I was recently reading a paper that came out of the War College, I believe it was, and it was issued in 2009. And it said, we will never be energy independent. There is no such thing as energy independence. It just is red meat for people. You throw it out there, but you don't really mean it. Well, under Donald Trump, we became energy independent. And we did it by unleashing the innovation that we have right here in the United States, the fracking, the other things that we can do to cleanly, effectively, affordably access the minerals and the natural resources that we have right here. Wyoming has 1.6 trillion tons of coal. We have massive oil and gas reserves. We have uranium. We have lots of the natural resources that this country needs to not only survive, but to thrive. And the energy policies of the Biden administration have been disastrous, not only for Wyoming, not only for the United States, but for the world. We are the ones that are basically funding both sides of the war, because we have been funding, and with gas prices increasing the way that they have worldwide because of bad energy policy, Putin is the one who has benefited from that. So we're out there now, finally this week. He said we're not going to be taking any more Russian oil, but it's a commodity. It's somewhat fungible. It can go to a lot of different places. When you've got $7 a gallon gasoline and $5 a gallon diesel, he's going to benefit from those increased prices. So now what are we doing? We're going hat in hand to Venezuela and Iran and Saudi Arabia and saying, please, 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 please give us energy. That's absurd. In order to maintain our strength and our place in the world, we need to be energy independent. And we can do it. We know we can do it. We've done it. And Wyoming wants to be right there in the middle of it to help it. And here's the other thing that I'll say. I think that there's a special place in hell for people who adopt policies that they are intended to increase the cost of food, housing, and energy. I think it's wrong, because it's the poorest among us that suffer the most, and that's what's happening right now. I read a story today about a woman, a grandmother, who has to choose between seeing her granddaughters and putting food on the table. That is absolutely unacceptable in the United States of America, and it all comes back to really bad policies coming out of this administration.
And then how do you think that that's going to be... how do you think you'll be able to address that on a local level? I know that you've got a Fremont County team here that you guys have assembled. What are some strengths and attributes that make them good members for that team, and how you could go about addressing some of these concerns?
Well, we have a fabulous team for Hageman for Wyoming. Hageman for Wyoming is my campaign. My website, if people want to learn more, is HagemanForWyoming.com. There's all kinds of information there, other interviews, TV interviews, articles that I've written, information about my background. So people can go to HagemanForWyoming.com. But a couple of weeks ago, we released our list of team leaders throughout the state of Wyoming. And I think we have over 190 team leaders in all of the counties. I'm very excited about it. Really, really, really honored, because these are just phenomenal people. Last night, Patty McNiven, she just did a fabulous job putting on the event in Hudson. Diane DeLozier was there. It was wonderful to see her. Jim Allen, former Representative Jim Allen, is on our team. I love him. He's got a lot of things that he can help me with in terms of policy issues that are important to this community alone. Tim Zalazar, David Miller, Morgan and Joy Jammerman are involved, and then John Burberry and Ginger Bennett are all involved in our team. Other people can contact them. They can contact our team. They can send us an email on our website.
How can they contact you guys and get involved?
HagemanForWyoming.com. You can go there and you can get us your information. We'll be putting out signs. We're going to have people going door to door. Really, the response statewide has been incredibly heartening. I'm very humbled and honored by the response that we've had and the people who are willing to get involved in this campaign. The people last night were just absolutely delightful. I just had such a good time. We talked about very serious issues, but boy, they were up to speed on what's going on. They had great questions, and this is just a fabulous community, and I enjoy being here and meeting with people here.
And then was there anything else that you wanted to get out to the public while you're here today? Anything that you want the voters of Wyoming to know?
Well, we've had a great conversation. I really appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk to you. I think it's pretty obvious. I love Wyoming. I love my state. And I want to make sure that my state thrives. I want to make sure that my country thrives. And I'm going to do everything in my power to win this race and to go back to Washington, D.C. and make Wyoming proud, to represent our interests, to make sure that Wyoming is at the forefront of our policy from the standpoint of, like I said, energy independence, food independence, and making sure that we take care of our citizens.
And so where's next for you today? You know, like you said, you're in Riverton. You came down here for Lander for this. You're busy. Where are you going to next on the Wyoming campaign?
Well, tonight we're going to be at the Fremont County Republican Dinner. And then tomorrow we're going to go to the convention for a period of time. And tomorrow being Saturday, the 19th. And then we're going to run up to Hot Springs County and go to Thermopolis, their convention up there as well. And then I have to run to Denver for 2 days to do an argument before the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals.
Because you're still on the job.
I'm still practicing law.
Mm-hmm.
And which makes for interesting scheduling, but at the same time, these cases are so incredibly important. I just have to finish them. I really feel that. So we're going to be traveling by the end of April. We're hoping that we will have again hit every single county in the state, some of them 2, 3, 4, 5 times. So what my job is at this point, what our job is to get out there and talk to people and address the issues and learn more from people in Wyoming about what their priorities are.
Thank you so much for coming in today. We really appreciate it, and good luck on the rest of the campaign trail.
Thank you so much. It's really good to be here.